A young woman reflects on the media being created for her generation.
I think that there is an artificial perception of love being given in those movies and in the books. And I think it's just very deceiving because that's not how relationships are. And love in the movies is always like physical or something emotional that really, you know, pricks our girl hearts. Like, oh, he sang a song. Oh, he wrote a letter. Oh, he came after her. And that's not necessarily love.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth, co-author of Lies Young Women Believe, for February 7th, 2018. This week, we're hearing from Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth and Dana Gresh. They just released the revised and updated version of the book, Lies Young Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. You know, it wasn't that long ago that for a parent to get on top of a young person's media use meant, I need to restrict how much television my child watches. Today, the media landscape changes faster than any of us can keep up with. It's moved from the living room to the laptop to the phone or other internet-connected devices. It would be easy to assume that today's young people are generally clueless about the values they're being fed in the media. Not exactly, says Dana Gresh.
Well, the frightening thing is that they do see the danger, but they're not convinced they need to do anything about it. One of our top lies in the area of media was that the benefits of constant media use outweigh the harm. And almost 100% of the girls, 98% of them, said, yes, I am making some media choices that clearly are not good for my spiritual life. They affect my relationship with God. They affect my relationship with my family and others. But I think the benefits outweigh the damage.
And that may not even be so conscious as there's a resistance to do anything about it because it is so ubiquitous. It is everywhere and everybody is doing it and everybody is wired. So it's this sense of, you know, often with sin or foolish choices, you don't reap the consequences right now. So you feel like you can safely go on sowing these seeds. And when you're 14, you're not really thinking about being 44 and some of the long-term consequences, which is why Proverbs issues such a call to young people to be wise, to think about the future, to think about the long-term implications of their choices.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son. Hear, my daughter, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck.
That's where we're trying in this book to reason with them and to say, this may not be destroying your life in a visible way at this moment, but are the seeds that are being sown healthy ones?
Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you.
Of course, any discussion about media and young people today has to include social media. Dana says that in the 10 years since Lies Young Women Believe first came out,
our nation has opened its first social media addiction center. That's not something we had back then. It's mostly for young people. Another big difference is we have a new term. It's actually in the dictionary, FOMO. It means the fear of missing out. And research really demonstrates that the teenagers most likely to be using social media are also most likely to have psychological characteristics of anxiety, which really is FOMO. They see their friends doing stuff on social media, and they're really afraid that their lives don't measure up, that they don't mean anything. I mean, you have to consider that when Lies Young Women Believe initially came out, teenage girls were still using email, okay? That's a ancient form of technology for teenagers. And the most boggling thing I think that's different is The stats tell us, research experts tell us, that teenage girls are spending a boggling 9 hours a day on social media or some type of screen communicating with friends.
For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster.
I think one of the biggest concerns I have is how social media creates greater body image issues and beauty lies. Of course, there are all kinds of areas impacted, but this is one area that's really dangerous. Girls are lighting, filtering, and then using simple programs, somewhat like Photoshop, to present themselves in a way that's, well, let's call it what it is. It's a lie. It's not what they actually look like. And now, the thing is, media has always been the leading factor in body image issues and eating disorders. But 15 years ago, the media was limited to magazines and maybe websites, new fashion websites, celebrity culture, television, movies, and it was celebrities that girls had to compare themselves to. Now they have to compare themselves to the girls they go to school with or the girls they go to church with. And that same factor of being filtered and perfected is still in play. So we've seen one of the manifestations is a rise in eating disorders since we first wrote Lies Young Women Believe. It's far more commonplace than it used to be. And so that's just one measurable way that we can see how social media has impacted girls and fed them lies that are very, very dangerous.
If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech.
Dana says there are plenty of helpful ways media and technology can be utilized.
Social media has a lot of great uses, right? We're able to communicate with one another better. We're able to do our jobs remotely. I remember in the early 90s, I was a designer, and I would sit at my computer, and we were so thrilled when we could send design files over the internet. And we would sit there and we would wait for, it would say, time to send, 1 hour, 15 minutes. And you would just wait by your computer, excited as you could be. Now we're sending things instantaneously. You know, there are good uses. Even the gospel is shared on the internet. And there are many people who are isolated, can't get out to church maybe, and they're able to have a community of faith through the internet, through social media. Social media is not the problem. It's the way that we use it. Social media is a neutral tool. And so one of the things that I think is really important for parents to do is teach their daughter how to use social media in a healthy way. So when you give your daughter a cell phone, don't just give it to her and expect she's going to figure out how this works. You know, consider the way you train her to drive a car. You don't just hand her the keys and say, have a good life, right? You prepare her. You teach her about how to read the gauges. You teach her when it's safe to drive, when it's not safe to drive. Do that with social media. Treat it the same way, because there are a lot of risks. You have pornography, you have eating disorders, you have all this anxiety and comparison. And not just that, we're beginning to see that some teenagers, when they hear that little ding on their phone that tells them they just got a text or they just got a like or they just got approval, that their brain chemistry is really being altered by that. It's not healthy for any of us of any age to be on social media all day long. So teach your daughter limits and teach your daughter where she can and can't go. I think it's really important to, if you're going to set your daughter loose on social media, begin by letting her be on mediums where you are also present and you are going to be able to see how she's interacting with people and sit down with her and chat with her.
So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life.
there are some advantages. There are some ways that it can be used for cultivating relationship and for personal and spiritual growth. And you want to take advantage of those. And our plea in this book is be intentional about your media choices. One, know what it's doing to you. Mm-hmm. And don't bury your head in the sand and pretend like it's not doing anything, because it is affecting you. And to say it's not affecting us, I mean, our generation said that when we were teens, you know, but it did affect us. And so we say, know what you're taking in.
I remember early in the social media world, when MySpace was still a thing, one of my daughters thought it would be really funny to pose with a water gun. Well, that didn't go over real well in the social media world. And I was able to see it right away and say, I know you're just being silly, but that's not a wise choice. Let's take that picture down. So just little things like that. Coach her up, train her.
My daughter's 14, and I think she's anorexic. She's starting to look thinner and thinner every day, and I'm just so worried, and I don't know where to start.
Yeah, if you think your daughter's struggling with an eating disorder or body image issues, I really recommend you start with your doctor, because you know you can find a doctor can discover that well your daughter isn't eating well, but she has disordered eating, which is not an eating disorder. Maybe she's struggling with comparison and anxiety for how she looks, and even some clinical depression. Maybe her brain has begun to not function really well. One of the things that I'm really concerned about social media and all the time girls are spending on their phones, is it is rewiring the way their brain chemistry works. And that's really, really dangerous. This is one of the areas where it shows up. And so I'd really start with your doctor, because he might say, hey, we don't have an eating disorder here, but we do have some other emotional concerns that are probably beyond the norm that we need to get some help with. And then obviously step in with God's truth. I love that we have medical experts that can help us with our daughters as we raise them. I love even that we have Christian counselors that can help us with our daughters, but I've never seen anything work without ripping up those lies and replacing them with God's truth. I have seen girls in counseling for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, good counseling, good medical care for eating disorders. And we spend several sessions with them analyzing what are the root lies? You know, why are you believing these lies? What's under there that's causing you to have a proclivity to believe, I'm not beautiful, I'm not thin enough? Here's the thing, like one Harvard survey told us that 2/3 of underweight girls thought they were fat. Did you hear exactly how I said that? These are underweight girls. They're not fat. But they're comparing themselves to social media, and they believe this big lie. So until we really uncover what are the complexities of that lie and rip it up, and now here's the important part. When you rip up a root, you leave this void in a girl's spirit. If you do not replace that with truth, a lie will grow back, and it might be worse than before. So it's so important then to go to God's word and find out what are the specific truths that this girl needs so that she can live in long-term victory over that. And as I said, I've seen girls in counseling for 3 or 4 or 5 years not making significant progress. We're keeping them safe. We're keeping them alive. We're keeping them healthy. But their mind is still not totally overcoming the lies. They need God's truth. That's paramount.
My son, my daughter, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you.
We homeschool our kids, and part of me wishes we could completely isolate ourselves from the world and live like hermits. No TV, no cell phones, no internet, not even trips to the library. But not only is it impossible, I don't think it's right. So how can I train my children to be discerning consumers of media while at the same time protecting them from the trash that's out there?
Wow, I am so thankful for how you just worded that question, because I think it's easy for us sometimes to believe the lie when we choose homeschooling or Christian schooling that we are isolating our kids and protecting them from the world. And I think that's a lie that we as mothers often believe. That's very dangerous. I have had my own children in homeschooling, Christian private school, and in public school. I'm not averse to any school type. I know that there are reasons, good reasons, why parents might choose any of those options. At the same time, I do realize that when I was running in the homeschool and the Christian school circles, that many times we as mothers were believing the lie that our kids were getting a bye, that they were exempt from temptation, or that they were sheltered enough. And the way you just phrased that lets me see your humility and that you understand the risk for your child. I have to say this, and I don't even know if I should, but I think it encapsulates my concern with oversheltering. And that is, as we re-release Lies Women Believe and Lies Young Women Believe, I'm in my writing studio penning Lies Girls Believe for the tween girls. And I've been really careful to do a lot of research as I write this book. Lies Girls Believe will also come with a mom's guide to Lies Girls Believe. So I've been communicating with moms for about 2 or 3 years, focus groups. As I write a chapter, I'll form a group and ask them follow-up questions to make sure I'm scratching the itch. And for one particular event, I wanted to make sure I had mothers who had children in public school, children in Christian school, and children who were homeschooled. And there was one homeschool mom that I saw at a public event, and I said, "Hey, are you coming to my event?" And she said, "Oh, no, my daughter doesn't believe any lies. That's why we homeschool, because she's not exposed to that stuff." I wanted to sound an alarm and scream and warn her, because thinking like that is probably one of the most dangerous things we can do for our kids. There is nothing we can do to shelter them from the world and the enemy. If that were true, I don't think Adam and Eve would have sinned in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have nearly as much temptation, nearly as much media, nearly as much danger as our own daughters face today. So I love how you phrased that question with humility and also an awareness that we truly can't shelter them. Bob and I have adopted a parenting philosophy. It's not our own. We want to teach our children to be minors, not monks. So a miner goes into a cave, and there's a lot of coal and nasty stuff and ugly stuff down there. But he's looking for those golden gems, or she is looking for those golden gems. And she's going to take care to just carve out those things of value. And those things of value are what he or she will bring out of the mine. Now, a monk is just going to hide in a cave. And they're going to hide from everything in the cave. And they think that they're safe in there because they're not being exposed to scary things. We wanted to teach our children that, you know, books are good. They also can be bad. So let's be miners and let's decide in this library or this bookstore, which of these books are the treasures? Which of these books are the gold? Movies, music, same thing. Now, was that always easy for our kids? No. I remember one particular time when one of my teenage girls was obsessed with a movie in the theaters that we didn't really think was gold. We did not think we wanted our daughter seeing that movie. On the same token, all of her friends were seeing that movie. All of her Christian friends were seeing that movie. And it was a PG-rated movie. It wasn't like a horrible, horrible movie. We just didn't like some of the philosophy in it. And so I said, you know what? She was 16 years old. We're going to go see that movie together, and we're going to talk about that movie. So I took her to see the movie, sat down with her for ice cream after the movie. I said, "What did you think?" She goes, "That was really dumb. I'm sorry I didn't heed your advice. This is why I think that's a really not healthy point of view. This is why I wouldn't go see it again." And this is the conversation I'm going to have with my friends tomorrow about why they're so obsessed with it. And it was really a proud moment for me, because we had worked when our children were 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, not saying no to anything without having them do some of their own research to become minors. We'd say, "Why don't you look that up on Focus on the Family's Plugged In Online?" and see what the reviews are for that movie or see what the reviews are for that album. And then we would discuss it and we help them make their own choices. Rather than creating just lots of limits for them, we were trying to help them make good, wise choices. We wanted them to be minors, not monks.
Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her.
Nancy provides encouragement to young ladies from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which tells us what kind of things all of us should allow our minds to dwell on.
And it's a great checklist there if you want one. It says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It's spiritual wisdom, but it's common sense too. You know, they say you are what you eat. And to a large extent, I think that's true. Physically, I think in our souls and in our spirits, we are what we take in, what we think, what we watch. And so we've provided a list of questions in this chapter for the girls, asking them to ask these kinds of questions. Would you be embarrassed to watch it with Jesus? Does it create conflict between you and your parents? Is it something you have to hide? Does it cause you to isolate yourself from family members or friends or to neglect other responsibilities? Are you addicted? Well, I said, no, I'm not addicted. And the thing we say here is, here's a way to find out if you're addicted. Do without it for 30 days. And if you can't, then you're addicted. And I have to go back and examine my own heart as one who's trying to influence these young women and say, where are my addictions? What are the things that I'm excusing, condoning, tolerating that may not be overtly evil, but they don't measure up to the standard of Scripture? And that's where we've got to be willing to be humble and honest ourselves and to say, look, you know, it's not just you, but the fact is we have our issues. And we need to, before we throw the book at the kids today, need to say, God, what are you wanting to say to our own generation? And where do we need to repent of our own media choices and our own selfishness and tolerance of things that are not wholesome? And we can't expect a response on the part of these young people that surpasses our own willingness to pursue holiness ourselves.
That's Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth. She and Dana Gresh have just released an updated version of their book, Lies Young Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. In it, they address lies we're tempted to believe about media use. And more important, they show you the truth to counter those lies. I hope you'll identify some young women in your life who would benefit from this book, get them a copy, and go through it together. You can order copies of the book and the study guide at reviveourhearts.com. And this week, when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size, we'll send you a copy of Lies Young Women Believe as our thanks. Call 1-800-569-5959 with your donation and ask for the book. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit reviveourhearts.com. One of the most important subjects in this book is lies young women believe about sexual relationships. We're bombarded with faulty ways of thinking in this area, but thankfully, God's Word has a lot to say to young women about these things too. Dana Gresh and Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth will talk about it tomorrow. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth wants to help you know and love the truth. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.